Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
KMOX.
Listen anytime, anywhere.
Get the radio.com app today.
Mr. President, you're driving us crazy.
With all this mess, the radio is the only thing that's really working good.
Stop spending. Stop spending.
Welcome to the dawn of a new unified Republican government.
They can run the okey-doke on you, bamboozle you.
We are not enemies, but friends.
So we finally have this God that's going to come down and help us all.
Now, Mark Reardon.
You just referred to Trump as a God.
Yeah.
On KMOX.
Hey, how was Girl Power yesterday? Carol and Amy filling in. Dave, they do okay? I'm sure they did. I wish I could say I'm happy to be back, but I had fun yesterday. Got to thank my friends and my sponsors here. Bill Coffin from Banner Construction was nice enough to invite me to play out at Belrive Country Club yesterday with my friend Luke. So I took the day off. We were supposed to do this ahead of the PGA Championship. It did not happen, and we got out there yesterday, and it was semi-humiliating. My producer, Dave Klein, put the number of lost balls, the over-under, at 9. It was far under that, believe it or not. It doesn't mean I played great. Actually, this is what frustrates me. And for those of you who golf, I think I played pretty well yesterday, but the score did not indicate it because I was in the bunkers a lot. So Ben Turek from Turek, which is Turek Agency, which is an advertising agency, and Bill and I and my friend Luke all went out there and had a great time. We won money, by the way, that we were not paid by Ben and Bill. I just realized that. I had to cut out last night very quickly. My wife is a bit under the weather right now, and I realized, you know, he said like it was $2 a hole or something like that, but I think he meant 200, and we took him down. So I don't think it was. I don't think it was 200. But thanks to Bill and Ben, we had a great time yesterday. So a lot to get to this afternoon, including stuff about the hurricane and all this stuff. Is it just me, or did this kind of come out of nowhere? Because, you know, I was dialed out of this stuff yesterday because I was off, but I thought we were talking Category 1 or 2, and then I tuned into some coverage this morning when I was taking my daughter to daycare. Megan Danahay from News 4 is with us. All of a sudden, this thing got really big, didn't it?
Well, you know, the Gulf water is 80-plus degrees there, so it's like bath water, and the storm just had all that warm water to strengthen. It's pretty amazing. It actually strengthened again even as it was making landfall.
So this is a little opposite of what we saw a few weeks ago, isn't it? I mean, there was a lot of buildup for that last year again, and I'm forgetting names already.
Florence.
Right, Florence. But yeah, it didn't, you know, the storm surge was significant, but the impact of the hurricane, thankfully, was not as dramatic or disastrous as expected. This one seems to be, unfortunately, doing a little bit more than was expected.
Well, they're two totally different types of impacts. You know, Florence formed near Africa, and it was a hurricane for a couple of weeks, and we watched it and watched it and watched it.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Florence only moved at about 2 to 3 miles per hour once it made landfall. So the Florence impacts became tremendous, like Harvey, with rainfall. This thing went through rapid intensification, even intensified it as it was making landfall to almost Cat 5 strength. It made landfall with 155 mile per hour winds, whereas Florence was weakening at landfall. This thing was still gaining strength as it moved inland right around Mexico Beach, right around Tyndall Air Force Base there. It's just unbelievable. I watched it all morning, watching the pressure just drop and drop, and the wind speeds go up and up, and it's just devastating for that part of Florida.
All right, so what's the track at this point, and how long is it going to take for this to move through, and when are we going to know the, unfortunately, the damage and the devastation?
Yeah, unlike Florence, which was barely moving, and Harvey, which stalled out over South Texas, this thing is still moving at about 13 miles per hour, which sounds slow, but that's actually a pretty decent speed, which will take it across the Florida Panhandle and actually into southwestern Georgia by tonight. And it will still probably be a Cat 2 hurricane in southwestern Georgia with 100-mile-per-hour winds. The track then takes it across central Georgia to the border with South Carolina, right around Clemson, to Columbia, and then up toward Raleigh, and then out into the Atlantic by Friday. So it really will move quickly across the southeastern United States. But you're going to have a big tornado threat with this, especially east of the track. So there are tornado warnings around Tampa right now. There'll be tornado warnings probably in eastern Georgia and eastern parts of the Carolinas. And of course, right now it's still pummeling the panhandle. Just a couple of tidbits I thought you might be interested in. I was talking about the minimum central pressure. It dropped to 919 millibars, which is stronger or lower than both Katrina and Andrew when they were out at sea. And there have only been two continental U.S. hurricanes that have actually made landfall with a lower pressure, and that was the Labor Day hurricane of 1935 and Camille. This is the strongest hurricane that we've seen since Camille.
Wow. Yeah. I think it's obviously, hopefully the warnings have been heeded and people got out. There's some people that, of course, always stay behind. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, and I'm sure you have an opinion to this, you want to make sure all the information is out there to warn people, and we know this even here with whatever might be happening with ice or snow. And if it doesn't necessarily come to fruition, at least where some people expected it to, then they get concerned that, oh, well, it's the same old thing. It's not going to happen. You know, it's not going to be as bad as the press and the media and the weather folks are telling us. But in this case, it is.
Ugh, it is. It's such a conundrum, you know, because Florence was weakening and, oh, it's down to a Cat 2, so we're not going to evacuate. This thing was strengthening so quickly, I don't think people could get out of the way fast enough. And, you know, you get accused of hyping a storm. But what's, if this is that powerful and can do that much damage, is it really hype or is it just trying to get the message out?
It's a warning. It is a warning, you know, and I think that in this case, everyone was on the same page from the elected officials to everyone else saying, get out of there. All right. Well, thanks, Megan, for the update.
Sure thing.
Fortunately, around here, you know, I don't feel too bad about going into the 40s overnight. That sounds okay, right?
Yeah. And, you know, tomorrow is going to be a beautiful, sunny, kind of cool day, a high near 59. Friday looks pretty chilly as well, too.
Well, it looks great. I think everyone's ready for nicer weather. Megan Danahy, are you with me this afternoon or is it Steve?
Steve is back. He was at a school talk, so he's making his way back to the studio even as we speak.
He's so helpful.
You'll have him later.
He just shapes the minds of the young people in St. Louis on a regular basis when it comes to meteorology, doesn't he?
Oh, hopefully in a positive way.
No, I think he does. Thanks, Megan. I appreciate
sure
it. Yeah, that thing, I will say that I did not watch any coverage of this yesterday, so I wasn't exactly sure how much of it built up, you know, into the day yesterday. But when I woke up this morning, man, it's like, and they're still talking 150 mile per hour winds in the path here of this hurricane. So we'll certainly keep you posted on that. I have a lot to say this afternoon on, we're going to cover soccer too, that big announcement that happened yesterday. I want to get into that. Carolyn Kendall Betts is going to join me in a couple of minutes, but I do want to talk about Kavanaugh and some of the things related to that. Let me offer this one example of what's happening and what qualifies as journalism in this country. And this is from Spin Magazine, spin.com. Now, I thought that was a music magazine years ago, wasn't it? Maybe this is a different Spin. I don't know. But, you know, Stephen Miller is this guy in the White House. He's a senior advisor for Trump. He's kind of a flamethrower. The liberals hate him. And again, I want to apologize just ahead of time. Every once in a while, I'm going to have to crank that mic down just because I cannot get rid of this virus that I have upper respiratory. And it's driving me crazy. And It's a close call as far as the number of F-bombs I dropped on Belle Reve yesterday to the number that I say when I'm frustrated and I'm coughing like crazy. So hopefully I'll get past it here this afternoon. But Stephen Miller, again, is a guy that the liberals don't like. And he's the guy that drew up the immigration plan, right? So there's a story in Spin Magazine that quotes his third grade teacher, Nikki Fiske. Here's what it says, who taught Miller at Santa Monica's Franklin Elementary School during the 1993 school year, told The Hollywood Reporter that Stephen Miller was a loner who used to eat glue. Fiske likened Miller to the Peanuts character Pigpen because he apparently refused to clean his desk. This makes sense considering the cringe-inducing Studi Body campaign speech he gave in high school, where he declared himself sick and tired of being told to pick up my trash when we have plenty of janitors who are paid it to do for us. And then she went into the glue stuff. He was a strange dude. Now think about this. What's happening here? And this is why Bruce Carroll, the gay patriot on Twitter, came on last week and with him, I encourage you to go to his GoFundMe page, and you can still do it. You go to @GayPatriot on Twitter, and there's a pinned tweet at the top to donate money to investigate one of these bozos on CNN. See what they did in third grade or fifth grade or when they were a sophomore in high school. I mean, this thing is out of control. So what qualifies as journalism by The Hollywood Reporter, which is a magazine that I subscribe to and I rather like for entertainment news, to do a story on this guy saying, and this is what, you know, she says, he was a strange dude. I remember he would take a bottle of glue. We didn't have glue sticks in those days. He would pour the glue on his arm, let it dry, peel it off, and eat it. Well, let me tell you something from someone who grew up in the 1970s. A lot of kids did stupid stuff like that. And they ate, I'll be careful here. I don't want to say the, can I say the word booger on the air? I guess I can't. They ate those things too. I remember this kid that I went to school with, John Miller. We would make fun. We tortured that kid, unfortunately. But again, someone wants to do an expose on me, you go back to my second grade or first grade report cards. They're not pretty. I had some disciplinary action, which would surprise none of you who listen on a regular basis. But let's think about this. Just try to think of it fairly, whether you're on the right or the left, that we have now evolved into a state of whatever this might be, because it's certainly not journalism. I was trained in journalism, and this has nothing to do with what I was taught. To go back to second or third grade, or they did it at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch with Josh Hawley when he was in high school. You want to go back to high school, right, and talk about any teacher who may have an axe to grind because she doesn't like his politics, and she wants to out him, talking about how he ate glue in third grade. It's ridiculous. And then you have the whole thing on CNN with, and I don't get this at all, Brooke Baldwin and others. There seems to be some consensus here on the staff of CNN that if you accurately refer to the Democrats' mob mentality on Kavanaugh, you can't use the word mob. Oh, that's not fair. The word mob. Why would you say that? That's outrageous, even though that's exactly what they called the Tea Party protesters. Now, if you want to take some good news out of all this, Marsha Blackburn is up on her Democrat opponent in Tennessee 18 points. Josh Hawley in Missouri is up in his race. The Senate gaps, Arizona, are getting larger. I know all the lefties want to think that this Kavanaugh thing is devastating for Republicans. And I'll admit, the House is lost. It's all but lost. But that's typical. And Republicans have known that well before any Supreme Court vacancy. It's tough in these midterm elections. But the Senate races look strong right now. And we'll keep you posted on that. Bruce Rauner is going to be on the show, the governor of Illinois. That baffles me. How can J.B. Pritzker... I mean, if those of you in Illinois want to see another governor go to prison, elect J.B. Pritzker. Bruce Rauner's actually broken that whole pattern. So he's going to join us this afternoon. Also, Benjamin Singer. I did the Clean Missouri pro side last week. I did the anti-sad last week. This is Amendment 1 on your ballot. We're going to talk about the pro side this afternoon. And next, Carolyn Kindle-Betts on this whole deal with the MLS team in St. Louis. It's pretty exciting. We'll get to her next.
Local reporters to cover local news. St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather.
Well, I was a little bummed out that I wasn't here yesterday because I had seen a tweet early in the morning about the announcement on the MLS proposal. And I thought, man, this would have been a good day to be on the air to talk about that. And here was that announcement yesterday.
So excited to be here today to officially announce this group's mission to bring a Major League Soccer club to the fabulous city of St. Louis. We are a 100% St. Louis-based ownership group made up of multi-generational family members from my family, the Taylor family, as well as Jim Kavanaugh and his family. Our ownership group is also majority female-led, which will be the first in MLS history and all of you in all of professional sports globally.
I love that. That's huge. And that, by the way, is Carolyn Kindle-Betts, who is with us this afternoon to talk about all this. Carolyn, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Well, I'm okay, except your husband canceled my golf lesson this morning because of all this, because he was your chauffeur. So not happy about that.
Well, thank you for accommodating him. He was a great chauffeur and a great support.
Well, he's great, and I'm going to hook up with him tomorrow. He's helped me considerably here over the past couple of weeks. Now, bear with me here. Don't make a judgment on what I'm about to say until you hear the end, okay, because you might be horrified. But I've long said for 2.5 decades, Carolyn, that soccer is actually ruining America because all these kids are not playing football and baseball. Great American sports. However, I married a collegiate soccer player. My daughter is playing soccer. And all those things that I said a long time ago and over the years I was kind of joking about. Having said that, I could not be more excited about this because I think St. Louis needs it. I think it's awesome. And I hope it happens. And I think that this is great that you guys are putting this together.
Yes. I mean, we're very, very excited about the opportunity.
So where are we with this right now and what needs to happen moving forward?
Well, where we're at right now, yesterday was a big day. We felt like it was time to go ahead and make a public announcement to let the city of St. Louis and really the region know what we were doing. We're still in discussions with the state and the city, so we really need to finalize the details to make sure that we get the land, and that's our preferred site is the area just west of Union Station.
And that was kind of the site that was being talked about even last year, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And, you know, personally, I think there's sort of a hole in that part of the St. Louis skyline, so I think that making sure we put the right stadium in there will fill in that space. And so then I think it's really just we need to go ahead and rally the business community to show the MLS that, yes, they are involved and they want sponsorships, they want to buy the suites, they want to be season ticket holders. But more importantly, we have to make sure that we get the community involved too. So visiting www.mlsfortheloo.com and making sure you like that, share it with your friends, share it with your family, because what we want to do is submit a pretty robust application package that includes those items and materials locked down for the MLS.
So we're talking about this being privately funded. Are there any tax implications outside of maybe acquiring the land?
Well, what we will ask for from the Board of Aldermen is that the taxes that are generated once the stadium is built and the activity begins, we would like a portion of those, which is still in discussion, to be reinvested back into the team and the operations.
So that has to go through the board and get approved and sent to the mayor, I guess, if that happens, right?
Correct.
Okay. So what do you expect? What is the timeline that's expected here? And I don't even know how anyone really, maybe there's going to be some people that would come out and be opposed to this, but seemingly, although those kooks on the Board of Aldermen, that's my words, Carolyn, you don't have to echo that, are a little strange. But look, I would think you get a tremendous amount of support and people rallying around this project.
Sure. I mean, the support that we've seen just within the last 24 hours has been overwhelming and absolutely amazing. I think as far as timelines go, like I said, everything is really still up for discussion. You know, we are very early in this process. So I think the next phase is for the ownership group and the wonderful team we have supporting us coming together and really starting to put that, you know, what does the next 30, 60, 90 days look like?
Hang on one second, just because we do a giveaway here every day at this time. Hold on.
Now, your chance to win with the $1,000 Cash Harvest Giveaway on KMOX.
You can text this hour's keyword in the $1,000 Fall Cash Harvest Giveaway news. That's it. And text news to 72881 by the end of the hour. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. Visit KMOX.com for rules. I can barely get this out because of my cough. So bear with me here. One randomly selected nationwide entrant will win $1,000. Brought to you by WeFixMoney.com. Need emergency cash? Check out WeFixMoney.com for more. Man, that is a challenge. All right. So I apologize, Carolyn. I've been struggling with this for a while. So when do you think you would get, and I'm just trying to set up the timeline, if things work smoothly moving forward, best case scenario for a stadium to be built and a team to be here, realizing there's a lot of things that have to happen between now and then?
Sure. I think the ownership group would really like to have the first kick, if you will, be in 2022.
So that's a realistic goal, right?
I think so. And I think that's one of the things that we are sort of excited but a little bit, I would say, you know, nervous about, is because that means we have to get a lot of things moving very quickly.
Right.
And the ownership group is very, very focused on making it, you know, moving it quickly, making sure we have a package that the MLS just can't turn down.
But you've had to have had, or maybe you haven't, had conversations with the MLS as far as how this might work and what they've indicated that they're open to St. Louis, obviously, but we thought we lost our window. But there have been discussions with them?
Yes, we've actually went up to New York beginning of September, actually. And just to make sure that they were aware of our intent to proceed down this path. But as far as definitive timelines, they're holding those cards very close to their chest. And so I think at this point, if you needed, you know, a more robust answer, you would have to reach out to the MLS directly.
And we will do that. And I love I'm not saying this, I might say something that offends people. I don't want to offend people. And I do it all the time. But I love the girl power here. And I hope that's not insulting to say girl power. But that's unique. And it's rather groundbreaking, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, we sort of chuckle a little bit because my family's always been very focused on the community. And, you know, throughout the years, we always look at projects that are proposed to us. And so we've sort of been looking at this from a distance. But as it started to kind of come to fruition and as an idea, we really liked what it meant for the city and elevating that city to an international level. But then as we started putting literally pen to the paper to write down the names, it became clear that Andy was the only male sitting at the table. So while it was an intriguing point of this, it certainly wasn't the driving force of why we did this. However, we do like the fact that it does show, you know, we have all the women in my family have held leadership positions in a variety of businesses. Three of us are in the business. Three are outside of the business.
I love it. I think it's great. I really do. And I think, I don't know if that's going to help in the process, but it should be maybe a component. And you mentioned, Andy, that's your uncle, Andy Taylor. And I don't know that I established this from the beginning, but obviously your grandfather was Jack Taylor as well. Well, Carolyn, good luck and keep us posted.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
You just have to realize, moving through this, that if there are further cancellations for your husband and my golf lessons, I'm blaming you. You know that, right?
You can go ahead and blame me all you want to.
All right. Take care. Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
All right. That's Carolyn Kendall Betts, who is with us, and her husband is my golf instructor. I'm a lost cause. I feel sorry for the guy.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bye. Well, we are now less than 4 weeks until the election, and it's going to be a big one, obviously. Big implications with races in the Senate and the House, and also we don't have one here in Missouri, but governor's races across the country that are going to be important as well, and one in Illinois that is, I'm a little baffled here by J.B. Pritzker apparently having the lead in some of these polls. We're going to talk about it this afternoon with Bruce Rauner, who is the current governor of Illinois, and he's with us this afternoon on KMOX. Governor, how are you?
I'm terrific, Mark. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Let me just start with this, because I live in Missouri, or some people say Missouri, but I have family up in Cook County, and I know a lot of people in Illinois, and I'm just baffled, and I don't know, you know, look, people have different opinions of polling, but there's a new poll that shows you back 20 points to J.B. Pritzker, and that, to me, is stunning to me. So I don't know what your reaction is to that. Now, obviously, this isn't over until Election Day, but what do you think is the reason for that?
Oh, so first of all, the polls are baloney. I don't pay any attention to them. They've been so wrong. They were so wrong in the presidential race. They've been so wrong in so many races. And another poll just came out yesterday that has me down 9. There was another one down that just had me a few. They're all over the place. Polls mean nothing. All that matters is Election Day. And, Mark, the reason I'm confident we're going to win and the reason we have to win to save our state is I'm being challenged by one of the Madigan's machine candidates, totally corrupt, a tax cheat, tax hike guy who would be in devastation. Turn out the lights in Illinois if that guy got into office.
He uses
his law firm. He's just part of the problem. We can't let him get in.
Look, I agree with you. And ever since I've been tracking this race, you know, going back to the primary, I was stunned that he even cleared the primary hurdle, you know, based on his history and his background.
Well, but you know, he inherited billions of dollars. And so he's trying to buy the office. He's outspending me 3-4-1. He's running $120 million of false advertising with all kinds of lies and misinformation. And you know what? People who are busy and not paying much attention, they see the ad and they tend to believe it. That's the tragedy. That's why getting on with you and others and getting the truth out is critical.
But
here's
I have
the key. Go ahead.
No, you go.
Well, so here's the key. Your listeners have to know how bad this guy really is. He got caught, and the report came out last week. The Cook County Inspector General, who is a Democrat, lifelong Democrat, not a Republican, investigated Pritzker over the last 9 months to look at his property tax dealings in the city of Chicago. They determined that Mr. Pritzker engaged in tax fraud, mail fraud, and perjury, and they've turned it over for prosecution to the state's attorney's office in Cook County. This is stunning. You know, Mark, four of my nine predecessors as governor went to prison, four out of nine. Pritzker's on track to be number five. And frankly, you know, his initials are JB, but you know what it's going to stand for? Jailbird. This guy is so corrupt. He's such a part of the problem. And we got to get the truth out there about this guy.
I think it's so obvious. But again, I'm across the river here, and I don't really get what a lot of folks in Illinois might be thinking. Now, would you admit, though, Governor, that you, because I've had people tell me this from, you know, Illinois, that they're not crazy about your vote or your ad, not your vote, your signature on the bill to expand the taxpayer-subsidized abortions, because conservatives feel like you kind of abandoned them on that issue?
Well, so I respect that. I said 4 or 5 years ago when I ran that I supported women's right to decide. That's not what's at stake in this election. What's at stake is taxes, corruption, and job losses. That's what's at stake. And what we can't do is stay home. Some conservatives are mad at me, too, because they've heard the false statement that I've somehow support illegal immigration,
right,
or that I've made Illinois a sanctuary state. That's an outright bald-faced lie by my political opponent. I have prevented Illinois from becoming a sanctuary state. The law, the bill that I signed, and this is where the confusion comes in, is a bill that was a two-page bill that local law enforcement, the police, asked me to sign because all it did was codify how they need to treat illegal immigrants under federal law and by what the federal judges have ruled. And it in no way changes Illinois' practice. And It does not make us a sanctuary. And in fact, it encourages local police to work with immigration agents from the federal government. So, and I have vetoed and killed half a dozen bills that would have made us a sanctuary state. And I've killed those because I'm against illegal immigration. And to be crystal clear, my opponent, Pritzker, has publicly said he supports sanctuary cities. I don't. I'm against sanctuaries and sanctuary cities. And he said, there's no such thing as an illegal immigrant. He said, there's no such thing as illegal. Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Illegal immigrants take jobs from Americans. They hold down American wages. They hurt our union workers. They hurt our factory workers and our farm workers. And we got to stop illegal immigration. And the way to do it, the best way to do it, is to put in E-Verify digitally so that every employer knows who's legal and who's not, and then put stiff penalties on employers who break the law and hire illegals rather than Americans. That's the way to stop it, and that'll get more jobs for Americans and increase American wages.
That's Governor Bruce Rauner. Governor, hang on. We'll come back with another segment here this afternoon on KMOX in a moment.
Get your news now and talk about it tonight at 10 with Ryan Recker on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
All right, welcome back. 2:48 at KMOX. Governor Bruce Rauner, my guest this afternoon for this stretch. So you and I spoke when you were running for governor 4 years ago, and we talked about the mess that Illinois is in fiscally, and it's been a big challenge, obviously, to fix some of those problems, which quite candidly have not been fixed yet. Now, part of that is Mike Madigan. There's no doubt about that. We talked about him back then. I think that it's amazing that he can control so much in the state of Illinois for so many decades, considering what the folks in our listening area down to the south of Cook County might feel about those types of politics. But let's say if you're reelected governor, you still kind of have to work with Madigan. Is there a way to come up with solutions to the desperate needs that people in Illinois have when it comes to paying some of these bills?
Yeah, exactly. So, Mark, it's been brutal. Madigan is so corrupt, he's been brutal to work with. But we finally got getting around him, and the good news is he's now weaker than he's ever been in his career. I've been hitting him hard, and I've weakened him significantly. And for the first time, Democrats in the General Assembly are calling for term limits. they are with me now on term limits. It's never, you never heard that over the last 40 years. I got them on term limits. And we got pension reform, saved $500 million. We got a tax reduction for our disabled veterans in their homes over Madigan's objection. We got an adoption tax credit. I'm a big supporter of adoption services to adopt babies and children in the state of Illinois. And we got a huge tax credit in Illinois now for families who adopt. It took me 3 years, but I finally got it done. And we've also cut the fees in Illinois to start a small business. We had some of the highest fees in America. We cut them. I'm getting stuff done. It's been brutal. It's been hard, but we're making progress. And what we can't do is give up or throw up our hands and just say, oh, well, Madigan's too strong, or Pritzker is, you know, he's the new guy. Let's try him. Pritzker and Madigan, they're running on a tax hike. They want to give us the highest income taxes in America. Pritzker's running on a tax hike for everybody. And Pritzker's also saying he supports a vehicle's miles tax, meaning he wants to put a box in everybody's car and have and measure the miles you drive and tax you by the mile in the state of Illinois. And I've killed that bill. I've killed that proposal in the state legislature every year that I've been governor. It's a disaster. It'll crush our commuters, crush our farmers, and I'm fighting against that. We don't need more taxes. We got to end the corruption. That's what I'm fighting to do. I've lost 22 pounds of this job and most of my hair, but I'm fighting for the citizens against a corrupt Chicago political machine. Pritzker is all Chicago. Madigan is all Chicago. And what they're about is self-dealing and tax hikes, and we got to beat it.
All right, so here in Missouri with our Senate race, Josh Hawley has aligned himself with President Trump and hasn't really wavered from that. You're not really, I guess politically, and the political reality is maybe you're not in a position to do that in Illinois, given the makeup of the state. It's different than Missouri. But where do you stand on President Trump and any potential help that he could offer?
Oh, well, so I'm crystal clear. Where the president is done really well, good stuff. Tax cut, great. Regulatory relief, red tape cut for businesses, great. Fighting against illegal immigration, that's great. And it's ending the unfair trade deals with other nations, that's awesome. I've disagreed with the president on you know, some of his statements about people and treatment of women and comments about, you know, in certain ways, rhetoric,
right,
et cetera. But you know what? On policies, I mostly agree with the president. And I'll say this. I work with the White House to get $2 billion in Medicaid funding for our behavioral health services. I worked with the White House to get huge hundreds of millions of dollars of grants to improve transportation. And I'm very close personal friends. I'm not really close to the president. I don't know him very well, never really knew him. But I'm very close personal friends with Mike Pence, the vice president. He's a great friend of mine. We talk fairly frequently. And Mike Pence's chief of staff is a good personal friend of mine. He ran my campaign. So I work very closely with the White House.
You know, the Chicago Tribune just endorsed you. They're a little bit more of a conservative editorial board, which I appreciate. And we need more of those. We don't have that here in St. Louis, Governor, as you might be aware. But look, they said stuff. This is important. And this is reiterating what you've said. If Pritzker wins, he'll empower, this from the editorial, the same Democratic leaders who have heaped enormous benefits on public employee unions and other pet constituencies. In return, the politicians reap the campaign money and the muscle that keeps them in control. I mean, it's pretty obvious, I think. So I'm hoping to help get you, you know, get your message out, because I'm baffled by what some of the folks in Illinois are thinking. And hopefully we can turn some minds around here.
Well, you know what? The reality is Democrats outnumber Republicans in Illinois by a lot, like 1.5 million.
Well, that's because of Cook County, though, right?
Well, in large part, I won every county in Illinois except Cook County 4 years ago. But even then, I only won by 50.2%. But the good news is Democrats are mad about Madigan. Democrats don't want the corruption of Pritzker. And we just got to get the truth known to them. When Pritzker can spend $120 million in false advertising, it's hard to get the truth out. But with you and others, getting the truth out will prevail, because I really don't believe this election is about Republicans versus Democrats. It's about all of us as people around the state standing up to a corrupt Chicago political machine that is about self-dealing, cheating, and raising taxes. And that's why we'll win, because we're fighting against that corruption.
Governor Bruce Rauner, thanks so much for the time this afternoon. I'm going to do my part to, you know, get the word out as much as possible, because I think it's important, and I really appreciate you coming on here this afternoon.
Thanks so much, Mark. Be well. Take care. Bye-bye.
I have to tell you, I'm confused. Now, look, I think that there were some missteps on the governor's part with the abortion funding. But when you look at the alternative here, ever since I started seeing the ads do work. At least you think they work. With J.B. Pritzker playing footsie and having that conversation with Blago, And they, you know, Rauner's, may have been a pack, I don't know, might have been his campaign, aired all those ads. We saw him here in St. Louis for months talking about corruption. And Pritzker blows out, you know, his primary opponents, and he's leading. Now, Bruce Rauner says he didn't believe the polls. I think the polls are probably relatively accurate. Let's just say 20-point lead. There's a new poll today. How could you be down 20 points in that state? There's people, I guess, that aren't paying attention to who J.B. Pritzker is. I'd say my advice would be, hold your nose, vote for Bruce Rauner. I mean, seriously, if you want, you look at your property tax bill, look at your income tax, your gas tax. You're going to have those taxes increased consistently because you can't get your fiscal house in order. Now, I don't think that Governor Rauner has been able to achieve much of the things that he, you know, set out to do 4 years ago. It's tough, considering the Madigan control and the whole, this is another thing that drives me crazy. You know, somebody told me recently, this Mike Madigan stuff, it plays well in ads, but people listening in Madison County, Illinois, for example, or wherever else you might be, they don't really care about that. Well, you should care about that, because since I graduated from high school and Brett Kavanaugh was drinking beer at Yale, there has not been a different person in control of the Illinois House of Representatives. Now, I would say whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, I don't know that that's, well, I will just say it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. We've had examples of people in Missouri. Let's go back to Bob Griffin when he was a longtime House Speaker, brought down by corruption charges. And this guy, you might as well, if J.B. Pritzker is elected governor, you might as well just swear him in with a, you know, with an orange jumpsuit, because my guess is he'll continue that long tradition in Illinois of serving time in a federal penitentiary, where I don't think that Bruce Rauner will, that I'm aware of. But look, that's your problem, Illinois. I don't get it. I really don't understand how that's not at the very least a closer race. Now, a lot of this could be anti-Trump sentiment. We're seeing examples of that. It's not just something that is imagined. We're also seeing a bump in some of the polls. I mentioned that earlier this hour with Tennessee and also Arizona, some of the other Senate races here in Missouri as well. So it's a little confusing, but these elections are always local. And if people in Illinois don't like Bruce Rauner, or they don't think that he did the job that he set out to do and promised to do, they're probably not going to reelect him. We're out of time. I'm looking forward to this. Audrey Bartholomew, who is one of the two St. Louis singers that have moved on and got chairs turned around in The Voice. Audrey's going to swing by in the next hour, and we'll also talk a little bit about Amendment 1, which is the Clean Missouri Initiative. We did the anti-side of that, the pro side, coming up today.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.